Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us this opportunity to hear the words of your Son through the Apostle Paul. Lord, mold us, disciple us, so that we would run the race that you have marked out for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I asked Noah to come forward, and Magnus, do you want to come up and just answer some questions about the football team? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I remember it's been about a year. First time I met Magnus, I said, hey, how are you? Who are you? What do you like? I like to hit people. And he said, in the football sense. So can I borrow the microphone? This is all on the spot. And I saw online, you just got back from a camp. A football camp at Bemidji State. What were some of the things that y'all did up there? Real quick, simple stuff.
We had like four or five scrimmages against different teams from around the state. And then one night, like the big night, we had War on the Shore, which is basically like a simplified football game of, you know, losers go home, winners go get to jump in the lake. Which is nice. Pretty fun. There's some really large teams there, so we had good competition.
So I'm sure you're getting ready through lifting weights already. I saw that online as well. You got the schedules going, and I don't know when y'all can start practices, but practices have to be pretty close in there. What are some of the things that you kind of regret, or not regret, that's not the right words, you don't look forward to in these first upcoming practices?
Two-a-days,
okay. And what's the main purpose of two-a-days?
To make sure that you're conditioned for the football
season. Conditioning, so the running and all of that. Not fun stuff, but you need it, right? I'm sure there's a little bit, I know in Texas it was kind of you had that morning real early and you got the real late because of the heat, and in between they had kind of that class time. I'm sure there's some of that. You got your playbooks and you got some new stuff going in this year? You excited? Did you hear about... I think it was Kyler Murray. He got a new contract, $230 million. But they had a stipulation in there that he couldn't watch TV or play video games during study sessions. And he had to have 4 hours of independent study. Is it important to study to prepare for games? So you would think that if you weren't prepared, whether it be conditioning, training, schemes, you know, even that, that you wouldn't be effective on the field. I mean, it's true. We need that. And that's just not football either. Could have brought volleyball players up here, baseball, basketball, tennis, anything. We need to be prepared. Thanks a lot, guys. Go Saints. Hope your year's great. Yeah. I mean, we understand that. I mean, it's like a given for sports. It's a given. You're going to go through two-a-days, you know, for football. I remembered it. It wasn't called two-a-days for baseball, but it was that conditioning. We had cycles to run. You hit the single, and you had to sprint to first and then jog around. Then you had to sprint to second and then jog around, triples and home runs, and you did that multiple times. And, yeah, there was people throwing up, and it wasn't fun, but you had to do it. You had to do it. It's no different in the boardroom, right? If there's a big meeting or a big presentation, you have to prepare. You have to put your time in. You can't just go and wing it. I'll just pull numbers out of the hat and just kind of throw those up there, and hopefully everybody will buy into it. VBS. For us to be successful, a lot of time, a lot of effort had to go into this. Hours preparing. Hours buying supplies and studying the lesson planning and buying the food. And there'll be people grilling hamburgers today to be prepared. So if that's the way it is with so many things in life, why often do we come to Christianity and say, if I just do a little bit, I'll be okay. If I just go hear a Sunday morning sermon and sing a little bit and pray a little bit for an hour, and maybe if you want to throw Sunday school in there for the kids right now, we're hoping to have adults this year, I'll be good. And if I miss a Sunday, that's not even a big deal either. It's just I'll catch up. Why is it that way? You know, we need to be disciplined. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Being disciplined, that we are in a race and we must run to win. You know, discipline. I often think of that word, I think of negative connotations. I've done something bad so that I need to be reprimanded. There is discipline out there, a punishment because I've done something. And while that's true, there's more to that definition. I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago, I was picked to be, or I was sent the little postcard saying that you're on a jury pool, or you could be a prospective juror. I did not want to do this. It was December during Advent, so I made sure I tried to wear my best suit and black collar, and I'm a pastor, and I don't want to do this. And I remember I got to the point where I guess I made the first cut, and they ask you the questions. The attorneys ask you the questions, and it was the defense attorney that said, "What is discipline?" The case, I don't quite remember it, but I know a parent or a father or a guardian did something to a child. He thought was discipline, locking them in a room and doing other, and so that was the big question. And I think I answered something to that effect. It's punishment for doing something wrong or all of that. And I remember calling my sister on the way home and we were just talking. And I asked her that question and her answer blew mine away. She's a preschool director at a Lutheran church and she had just written something for her policy manual on discipline. And so she gave me this answer. It was like, discipline and discipleship have the same root words, and so when we discipline someone, we're making them to be like someone else. So when parents discipline their child, it's so that they become more like them, or in the Christian sense, more like Christ. That's what we're called to do. We are being disciplined so that we are more like Christ. That's what Paul is hitting on. It's only a couple verses. So just listen to these verses from Paul again in 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we are imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not... I need glasses. Box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I should be disqualified. We understand sports. We understand the football pictures and all of that, and Paul is using the exact same thing. It's not the Olympics in Athens, but there are games outside of Corinth. It's Isthmus. Is about 10 miles away, and it's second to those games, and they're kind of on every 2 years in between the 4 years of the Olympics. And it's the same stuff, the running, the boxing, the jumping, the throwing the javelin and the discus and all of that. And so Paul is taking that and saying, look, you understand this stuff. Let's tie it into our Christian walk. You're on a race. You're on a race, and you need to run as you're running for the goal. No, this isn't Christianity in that only one Christian makes it and gets to the finish line, and they get heaven and nobody else does. No, we are just we're tying this in to show that we have a focus. We have a goal. We are heading in a direction. So I guess the first thing that we need to see is that we need to be running. We need to be running. It's not just a sprint. The baptismal font would be right there. It's not just a sprint to the baptismal font or I'm saved and now I can sit and relax. It's a marathon all the way to the end. It's a marathon until either Christ returns or he calls you home. Are you running the race that God has put out before you? Are you running this race and over the next weeks, kind of as our lead up to our kickoff, with Sunday school starting again and all that stuff coming back on, let's prepare. Let's look at some spiritual disciplines. Let's look at these things and kind of hopefully tie them into our daily lives so that we can be prepared. Because these runners run, they train. I mean, just as the football team can't show up on August 27th, the first scrimmage or game at 9 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, and just say, we're good. We're going to start. No, they've trained. They've prepared. Runners are running. I would not make a good runner right now because I am not in shape. And so we need to run and practice and prepare and train my body. We need to do the same. We need to do the same. We need to follow Christ. We need to run the race he has set out for us. Forgetting what is behind, looking forward to what is ahead, we strain, we press on to receive the victory, the crown that he has for us. So they practice, they run. They don't just sit there and hope to win, but they want to continue. We know we have heaven. That was last week as well. You are a sheep. You are on this. Everyone who is in this race wins when they hit the finish line. As we have been placed in this race by Christ, but we are to run in a way so that others would hear this wonderful message. You know, just as a runner wouldn't go and put on a backpack, they wouldn't put on those ankle weights during the race. They're removing everything that would hinder them. I'm sure they even pick clothing that is the lightest and the most breathable and all of that wonderful stuff so that nothing can hold them back so that they can run the race. We need to do the same thing. I'm sure there are things in your life that are holding you back, that are taking your focus off of God and putting it somewhere else. That God wants you to get rid of. That God wants you to push it aside and run the race. Maybe it's a sin that easily entangles, as the scripture says, and it's just, okay, give it to God. You need to have short lists. If we're running a race, we need to have short lists. We don't need to hold on to these things. Once we sin, give it to God, because he'll forgive it and remove it. You know, we have worries, we have problems. Give it to God and let him free you up so that you can run. Wonderful blessings. You know, get rid of all the stuff. Don't do the things that hold you back. A runner probably won't eat certain things that other people would. They'll stay away from the sweets. They won't eat the chocolate and the sodas and all of that. But they will train. We need to free ourselves from the things of this world and even the good things. I mean, let's just be honest. It doesn't have to be sin. It doesn't have to be sin. Maybe it's something in your life that is just taking too much time, taking too much focus off of Christ and what he has in store for you so that you're running, but you're getting pulled. Get rid of it. I don't know if I've mentioned this in a sermon before, but I know I've mentioned this to the youth. Of one of my favorite kind of speakers, motivational speakers, is Bob Goff. And he says, quit something every Thursday. Just quit something. Of course, he goes on, if you're married, that's not your wife, or something like that. But if it's a job that's holding you back, quit. If it's a friendship that isn't allowing you to do the things that God wants you to do, if it's those checklist items on your calendar every week that just bogs you down, quit. And you don't have to fill it with anything, because you know what? God will fill it. God will put things in your life so that you can run. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because we don't run for something that is perishable. At the games, but through studies, we know that Paul was in Corinth from 50 AD to 52 AD. So he probably saw the games in 51. And at that time, the victor would get a crown of shriveled celery. That's what they would put on their head. That was the big goal. And of course, if you've had celery that sat in the bottom of your refrigerator, like I know we have, it kind of turns to mush after a little while. Just kind of liquefies and, yeah, not pretty. Ever since that, you know, was placed on that person's head, it's already decaying. It's already shriveling. But we do something that has eternity in mind. And the wonderful thing is this section, you know, I know we kind of cherry-picked this little section out of Corinthians chapter 9, but within the big picture, this isn't Paul saying, I'm running the race so that I get the victory, so that I get the recognition of the crown. It's so that others will hear. It's so that others will join us in this race. Paul has just talked about giving things up. He's just told them about meat on idols' altars. So there was an issue. There's all these pagan altars in Corinth, and I guess, and they had some pretty good barbecues of animals, and then they would eat this meat, and so Paul was saying, these gods aren't real. Go ahead. But if there are weaker brothers and sisters that it bothers them, you stay away too. Because it's not about you. You're running a race so that others will get to the finish line as well. And he says, and right at the end, before he starts to talk about this, Paul says, I do it for the sake of the gospel. We're running this race for the sake of the gospel. Jesus has saved you. He has made you a sheep. You are bought by the precious blood of Christ. And now you live for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessing. So that I might share with them. Are we running a race so that our children share in the gospel? Are we running a race so that our coworkers hear about it in our lives? Are we running a race so our neighbors know that Christ is number one and we are focused on a goal? Are we bearing fruit in this? This wonderful opportunity to bear fruit, this discipline, this self-control. What is it? It's a fruit of the Spirit. With the Holy Spirit working in us, we can do this. This isn't us. This is the Holy Spirit working in us. And so my hope over the next couple weeks and my kind of challenge to you, I don't like challenging because it's by grace and all that, but we do run this race. And so my challenge is that you'll look at these spiritual disciplines and you'll see, maybe you're lacking in the reading of the scriptures. Maybe you're lacking in worship. Maybe you're lacking in generosity or sacrifice. And you can just focus on that and see what God's word says. And then just try it. Trust in Him. Trust in Him so that when the opportunity comes to get in the game, you're ready. You're ready with an explanation. You're ready with the gospel. You're okay to give up something that you want because you know it's for the sake of the gospel. And you can trust in Him. Now, God has placed us on this wonderful race together. And so I am so excited about just kind of doing this with y'all and hopefully diving into God's word and diving into His wonderful promises that He makes to you. So that in the end, we all can cross that finish line and celebrate the victory that He has won for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have placed us in this race and that we will win because of You and what You have done. It's not us. It's not our running. But You have given us a focus. Allow us to see that. Allow us to go after that. Wholeheartedly, Your gospel message being proclaimed, Your love going forth, us loving or worshiping You and loving our neighbor as our focus in life. Lord, there might be plenty of good things in our life going on right now, but if they're getting in the way of You, remove them so that we can go not for the good, but for the best. And that's what You have in store for us. Help us, guide us, and lead us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us go to the Lord and pray.